Jesus is the life that so many people want. He's not claiming, by the way, say your life's going to be perfect if you accept Christ.
Pastor Breadmatter, with the assurance that comes with wholehearted faith in Jesus.
But you will have life abundant, especially because you have the hope of eternal life. You might be bummed out because of your circumstances, but you'll find joy even in that if you know Jesus Christ. It's not about your circumstances. Your joy is determined by a person, Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life.
Jesus declared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This powerful statement underscores his unique role as the only path to God, the ultimate source of truth, and the giver of eternal life. On today's Word, Pastor Breadmatter unpacks the depth of these words and how they challenge us to an unwavering faith in Christ.
Now we come to our sixth I Am statement here in John chapter 14. Let's read it in verse 6. John 14, 6. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." This is so clear, and yet today people say, well, there's many, you know, paths that lead to heaven, and you know, Jesus isn't the only way. And even if they sort of claim that Jesus is the only way, they say, yeah, Jesus is the only way, but also you've got to, and start filling in the blank with stuff you gotta do that's not really part of the deal. You know, Jesus is the way, the truth, but you need to join our church and tithe, and you gotta be baptized in the holy baptism of our waters, of our baptism. You need to go to this mass, and you need to, you know, like we have all these different requirements for a person to be saved, but that's not what Jesus said here. Let's not twist his words. These are very clear, distinct words that there's only one real answer of how you're saved. It's by Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Let's break this down into three delineations he gives. First, Jesus as the way. You know, this is where people say there are many paths that lead up the mountain. And I'm gonna tell you, the reality is Jesus tells us here, there's no one that gets to heaven except by Jesus Christ. People don't like that for some reason. I always kind of marvel when people say, you Christians are so narrow-minded, bigoted, thinking your religion is the only one. And people get really fired up and angry at the fact that we're narrow-minded. That's what the Bible teaches. Narrow is the path that leads to eternal life, but broad is the way that leads to destruction. But there's some people that just, well, that's so stingy to say you alone have the correct way. But, you know, let me ask you a question. You know, what if you're in a burning building? It's on fire and everything's destroyed. Ceilings are falling. Everything's on fire, except there's one door that's still accessible to the outside. Do you say, bigoted, narrow, I don't like one door out of this burning building? Well, you could not like that, but you probably should take the one door that's still available. You see, the idea is when the world says, I don't like, you know, the single way, that's just the world being rebellious in a painful kind of way. I'm just thankful that God made a way for salvation, and it happens that Jesus is the way. And some people just don't like that. You know, another exclusive scripture about Jesus in Acts 4, talking about Jesus specifically, it says in verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So that was the big question. Is Jesus the only way to heaven? And Jesus makes it clear. He's the way, the truth, the life. You know, it's interesting when people say that all paths lead to heaven. All religions are the same. You know, when people say all religions are the same, what they're saying is they know nothing about religion. They're showing their ignorance about religion. I had a progressive sort of liberal theologian who was a rabbi from Jerusalem come up to me after one of the services. He says, "I'm from Jerusalem and I'm a rabbi. And I know the type of rabbi that, you know, I'm familiar with that kind of thinking." But he said, "You said that Allah and Jehovah and Christians and the Muslims, they don't all worship the same God. But you know, really, I'm from the Middle East. It's true, you know, Christians, Muslims, we all worship, they all, Jews, we all worship the same God. It's really the same thing." And he was trying to really make that point. And I just said, "Do you know who is the God of Christianity?" Well, he said, "The same God of the Jews, Jehovah of the Old Testament." "Yes," I said, "that's right. But did you also know, as Christians, we believe Jesus is God. So my God is Jesus Christ. Is that the same God of the Muslim? Do the Muslims believe in Jesus Christ, the God, you know, God that lived among us? And he kind of thought and stumbled for a second. I said, do you remember the Dome of the Rock shrine there on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem? I said, when you go home, read the Arabic writing up on the blue trim of the whole Dome of the Rock shrine. It says there over and over again, it says, God does not beget, nor does he have a begotten. So the Muslims do not believe in my God, not even close. What they do to my God is they take Jesus and put him as a prophet. In fact, he's lower than Muhammad is a prophet. He's lower than Muhammad in the Muslim faith. So no, we don't worship the same God. And I said, and by the way, your God, the Jewish God, is not the same of Allah either. I explained to him how Allah was chosen there in Mecca from the black stone. You know, it's such an interesting thing when you realize the origins of Allah from Muhammad. It has nothing to do with Jehovah. All that to say, the people that are claiming that it's all the same God, with all leads to the same place, they just are proving their ignorance about religion. You talk to a fundamentalist Muslim and see if they say that Jews are worshiping the same God. Most of them will say, no, not at all. By the way, R.C. Sproul, who is now in heaven, he was just so logical, and his apologetics was really awesome. But let me read you what he said about this. I like the way he puts this. He says, the notion that all religions are valid is logically impossible. If all are valid ways to God, then Christianity is also a valid way, and Jesus is simply one of the many ways to God. But we find that Jesus says he is the only way, and that no one can come to the Father, which is in heaven, except through him. Thus, if Christ is one of the ways to God, then he has to be the only way to God. Or else this Jesus, who is one of the ways, is dead wrong in claiming to be the only way, which in case would be foolish to think that he's even one of the ways. Are you following the logic there? He goes on and says, Christians did not come up with the idea that Jesus is the only way to God. That idea originated with Christ himself. If he was wrong, then Christianity has no validity at all. But if he was right, then there is no other way. So it really gets down to what R.C. Sproul is saying, is Jesus what he claimed to be? Is Jesus the way? Some people say no way, some people say Yahweh, I say Yahweh. Jesus is the I am. He is the same as God, and he knew what he was talking about, and the world has missed it. The world has missed it that tries to say there are many paths. Be careful about that. You know, some churches have sort of softened their sort of position about Jesus. Well, you know, Jesus is, you know, he's a great guy. And it's like almost like the church is trying to sort of keep up with the liberal theology of the world. But I'm just gonna say, pray for the Church of Jesus Christ that we're bold and that we declare that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's what he claimed. Here at Athey Creek, we're gonna continue to preach that Jesus is the only way to heaven. There's no other way to be saved. I think that's becoming more rare. Be careful about that. Let me just put it this way. Let's say we got a helicopter outside waiting for you after the service. And you are picked up by the helicopter and we fly you way out into the wilderness. And we drop you off and you don't know where you are. You don't know how far it is. You don't even know what direction it is. There's a storm brewing and you're just like out there. And I say, okay, we're dropping you off here, but I'm gonna give you four options. You have someone with you. I'm gonna give you a companion. Companion number one. And it shows the guy in a $5,000 suit and he's got his briefcase, slick back hair, and he's a lawyer. You can have that. Or option number two. A guy that looks like Rajan Shri Rajneesh or whatever his name is, a guru. And here's a philosopher and a guru guy. You can have him as option two. Option three, suddenly this woman comes out, Miss America, with a golden crown and her beautiful evening gown. You can have her with you as option three. Or the life. Option four, and you're shocked at what you see. The ugliest guy you ever did see, he's only got like three teeth. His breath is bad. He's wearing hiking boots, but he's also got like a backpack and a rifle, and he's got skins of our brethren, the animals, like raccoon skins over his back. And this guy, he's lived here in these wilderness for 40 years, and this is option number four. Now, my question is, which one do you choose? I'd take the bad breath guy because he's the solution to the problem, not Miss America, not the lawyer, not the guru. The same thing is true. You can want to have someone save you who's not able, but the problem is they're not gonna help at all. They're only gonna make matters worse. But what's not to like? I mean, I use that analogy sort of carefully because what's not to like about Jesus? Jesus loved you so much and he wasn't, you know, bad in any way, shape, or form. He was perfect, and he loved you so much that he laid down his own life that you might have eternal life. I'm shocked that people would reject that. Why would they? And I kind of think, no wonder the Father in heaven, when people reject his Son, who's the way, the truth, and the life that he's provided for you, and you reject that, it's no wonder that is the kind of decision you make that sort of dooms you to eternal death. Don't miss the way, the truth, and the life. Now, before we move on to the next one real quick, Jesus as the way, this became sort of the name of the early church. You know, we today call Christianity, Christianity, and it's such a broad term, and I'm not even sure a lot of people that call themselves Christians around the world may or may not be. It's a term that was actually originally used to be sort of mean-spirited and derogatory, you know, Christian. But the church accepted the term because we were okay with being associated with Christ, so call us Christians. But before the church was called Christians, they were called the way, followers of the way. Not just a term about the way, Jesus being the way, it was that for sure, but it also became sort of a way of life for them. As a Christian, they were followers of the way. And you could see if a person was a Christian, were they following Jesus? Were they followers of the way? And that was kind of a cool thing. One of the evidences of you today being a Christian is when you see that you're following Jesus, who's the way. So there it is. Jesus, number one, is the way. Number two, he says, I am the way. Number two, I am the truth. The truth. Pontius Pilate, when Jesus was standing before him, he said, what is truth? What sparked that sort of, you know, rhetorical question from Pontius Pilate, the one who was judging Jesus himself? Well, it's what Jesus said before that made Pontius Pilate said, what is truth? And it's there in John's gospel, chapter 18, verse 37. Then Pilate said unto him, so you are a king? And Jesus answered, you say that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born. And for this purpose I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. And then Pontius Pilate says, well, what is truth? Little does Pontius Pilate know that Jesus, who is the truth, the embodiment, the personification of truth, is standing right in front of him. But in this little discussion, I want to point out what Jesus says, and this is a missed sort of truth because of the context. We sort of miss there's something powerful that Jesus tucks in here. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. The person who wants to be of the truth listens to Jesus's voice. Boy, you and I are living in deceptive days. Deception is rampant. You can't believe things that you see with your own eyes. With AI and all the stuff that's happening, there's so much weird deception. Be careful. You can't always believe what you see. Man, what a mess we're in, you know. And because of lies, by the way, this is one of the things that should mark the last days. Not just, you know, there's been deception in the history of the world. But nowhere like today have we seen deception globally around the world. The Bible says deception's gonna be all over the place, and we're seeing that. You know, deception, Brett, are you serious? Is it really that deceiving? Well, people are deceived. Some people don't even know what a woman is. Some people think the guy who won the Oregon State Championship of women's running, they think the guy won and it's all fair and square. Even though with other boys, he would have been like 165th in the state of Oregon, but he beat all the other girls. And people are like, that's awesome. Good for her. People are believing stuff that's crazy. If I could go on, you know, the rewriting of history, the Holocaust never really happened. That's a deception that's going on today. That's something that's very real. There was once a country called Palestine and Palestinian people. They believe that. They think that's all true. But, you know, 100 years ago, there were people that lived in Palestine called Palestinians 100 years ago, but it was Jews and Arabs that happened to live in a place where the Romans renamed Israel to call it Palestine. They weren't Palestinian people. And yet there's people today on Harvard of all places and Yale, the smartest people in the room. They think that there are real Palestinian people and that there's a real Palestinian nation. And that, you know, it's really interesting to watch how people are just duped. But what is true digitally, what AI is doing, all this stuff. And, you know, more and more, I'm just so thankful that we have Jesus Christ as our truth. He's not just one of the truths we can hope that's real. Jesus has proven himself true. For centuries, We've seen Jesus is what he claimed to be. I am the way, I am the truth, and we can bank on that. I'm kind of, you know, apprehensive about any of these things that people claim to be knowing. And by the way, don't lump me in all the categories people want to lump me in. I've noticed that people love to try to categorize other people. Oh, you're an evangelical. No. You're a Christian nationalist. No. You're a Democrat. You're a Republican. You're an independent. And everybody wants to just slam you into a category. But you know, more and more, I kind of find myself not relating to any of those groups. If you want to categorize me, just if you want to know what I feel, categorize me as a Jesus follower. That's my life goal. It's not to be a Republican or a Democrat or a independent or a MAGA or a... My goal in life is to be a Jesus follower. Why? Because he's the truth. He's the real deal. Nobody's going to be elected to be the savior of the world that's going to be the way to heaven. Jesus is that for me. He's the way to heaven. He's the truth. And there's nobody that even comes close to him. You know, compared to our own stupidity and sin, the truth of Christ looks so good to me right now. Coming to church and reading the Bible, after seeing what goes on week after week, day after day in our country, I just come here and it's like, oh, the Bible's like just a iced tea on a hot day. It's just like, oh, it's so good. Kind of reminds me of the daughter who was a freshman in college, and she wrote her parents a note, a letter, sent it the mail. She said, "Dear Mom and Dad, I thought I'd drop you a note and let you know how things are going on with me at school. I've fallen in love with a guy named Blaze. He is really a neat guy, but he quit high school a while ago and got married. That didn't work out, so he got a divorce last year. We've been going out now for a couple of weeks. We're thinking about getting married in the fall. Until then, I've decided to move into his apartment. Also, I think it might be pregnant, so I dropped out of school last week so I could get a job to help support Blaze. I hope to continue college after we get married and when the baby gets here." She goes on, "Also, everything I just wrote in this letter was a lie. None of it's true. What is true, I got a C in French and a D in math. It's also true that I need some money. Could you please send $100? Thanks a bunch." Smart girl, man. With that backdrop of all the, I was like, yeah, whatever. C or D in French and math, that's great. We love you, honey. Here's $100. Like, that was brilliant, brilliant. You know, after that was painted, I kind of feel like apart from Christ, the backdrop of our sinful, horrible, dark, miserable lives in this world and what we watch in the news and what's going on, the future is death and destruction. But with Christ, who is the way and the truth, he recognizes our sins and he died on the cross for those sins. And so we have eternal life through him. It's just beautiful when you compare to where we were to where we are, because Jesus is what he says he's gonna be, the way, the truth. And then thirdly, lastly, the life. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The way, salvation through Jesus only. The truth, he died on the cross for your sins that you might have eternal life. The life, well, it's both eternal in heaven for all eternity, but it's also life here and now. Remember what Jesus said? We read this in John 10:10, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Christ, now we talked about this, and it's not the whole name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, squeal it and steal it. You know, I'm not talking about that. But I am saying that the Lord says, "I want to give you life and an abundant life." That's what he says. And it's all found in Christ. I love Ephesians 1:3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." I like Acts 17:28. Paul says at Mars Hill to the philosophers of Athens, he says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." Jesus is the life that so many people want. He's not claiming, by the way, to say your life's gonna be perfect if you accept Christ. But you will have life abundant, and you, especially because you have the hope of eternal life. It's not as bleak as it could be if you don't have the hope. But because of Jesus, he gave us the way, the truth, and the life, and that changes your perspective. You might have a bummer day, and you might be bummed out because of your circumstances, but you will find joy even in that if you know Jesus Christ. It's not about your circumstances. Your joy is determined by a person, Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. If you don't believe in Jesus, you're missing out. You know what's interesting that I've found in 40 years of ministry, but one of the things I can think of almost no one, and I'm gonna say almost because there's a few cases, but when someone accepts Jesus Christ as their personal savior and live to regret that decision. Now, if there is someone who did, I'm gonna say those people It's just a handful of people I know ended up saying, yeah, I don't like being a Christian. I'm not going to be a Christian anymore. And by the way, those people, there was evidence that maybe they never really accepted Christ to begin with. Maybe they weren't really even saved. They just sort of tacked it on and said, I'm going to do the Christian thing, but they didn't really actually receive Jesus Christ as their miraculous personal savior, who's the way, the truth, and the life. But even if there were five people legitimately, which I don't think they were legitimate, but even if there were, out of that, thousands and thousands and thousands of people I've seen and known to come to know Christ, they would all say, yeah, the best decision I ever made was to accept Jesus Christ as my savior. It's a life-changing fulfillment of what Jesus declared right here. When you accept Jesus Christ, you realize more than ever, it's true. He is the way. He is the truth, and he is the life. When you accept Christ, it will only confirm his claim on this. But until you accept Christ, you may still wonder. Why not put that wonder to end today by just accepting Jesus and understand him to be the one who loved you enough to die on the cross? Take the one who can get you to heaven, not Miss America, not the lawyer, not Muhammad, not Confucius. Take Jesus. He's the one. He's the way, the truth, and the life.
Pastor Brett Metter has been pointing to the one and only source of hope, truth, and life on today's Word, and that's Jesus Christ. And if you've yet to make a decision to accept him as your Savior, I hope you'll stay right there as Pastor Brett will be back in just a moment to lead in a word of prayer showing you how you can do just that. But first, if you're new to today's Word, Pastor Brett Metter is the senior pastor of Athey Creek Church in the Portland suburb of West Lynn, Oregon. Each day, he'll share a verse-by-verse study of God's Word. For more information about Pastor Brett or Athey Creek Church, just go to our website at todayswordradio.com. That's todayswordradio.com. While you're there, you can also find all of Pastor Brett's messages online at todayswordradio.com. Well, now for those considering making a commitment to follow Christ, here again is Pastor Brett Metter to tell you just how simple that can be.
If you're one who's saying, yeah, I really want to accept Christ, and you're not saved, if you're not a believer and you want to accept Christ, I'd like to invite you to do that. If you're one who wants to accept Jesus Christ, would you just think about making that decision right now? What does the Bible say? If you want to be saved, it's really simple. You confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, that God raised him up from the dead, that you will be saved. Well, Brett, I don't have to do a lot more than that. No, Jesus did it all. He paid your price. You just have to receive it. Ephesians 2:8 says you're saved by grace through faith. Grace means undeserved, unearned, but through faith, by believing and accepting, it says you're saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift from God, not of your works, lest any man should boast. In other words, nobody can say, look what I've done to save myself. Nope, it's a gift from God that you receive. How do you receive it? Confession with the mouth and belief in the heart that Jesus died, rose again from the grave. If that's you and you'd like to do that, I'd like to pray with you right now. I'm gonna pray this prayer of confession from Romans 10:9. Basically, it's just doing that. If you want to accept Christ, just pray this. Dear Father in heaven, I believe in your Son, Jesus. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins, that he rose up from the grave, and that I'm forgiven. Help me to walk with you. Thank you for saving me. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Lord, I pray you'd bless these people who've just confessed their faith in you. Would you just reveal your love to them? May they know the truth about what we just saw here in the scripture, but also may they know it as it just might be confirmed in their hearts, Lord, of what you've done, that you love them, forgive them. Lord, I know this doesn't mean they're gonna be perfect from this day forward, but it does mean we're perfectly forgiven for all of our sins. How thankful we are. And we look forward to that day when you come back for your bride and take us to heaven to be with you. Until then, may we serve you, walk with you, and rejoice in you, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Pastor Brett Metter here on Today's Word. And friend, if you've chosen to accept God's free gift of salvation today by praying that prayer with Pastor Brett, we're so excited and want to encourage you as you begin this new relationship as a Christian. Our website provides some next steps to find out more about being a new believer. Just go to todayswordradio.com and click on the link, New Believer. That's todayswordradio.com and click the link, New Believer. And that's all the time we have. I hope you can be back as we see one of the most amazing miracles that Jesus ever performed, the raising of a man from the dead. Today's Word with Pastor Brett Metter is an outreach of Athey Creek Church in West Lynn, Oregon.